We're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're up to Vahamar Shmuel on the third line down from the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. We've established that in the Reish of our Mishnah, where the Ani or the Baal Bayis did the entire Malacha from beginning to end, and there each one, of course, is going to be Chai V'Chatos, the other partner who did nothing, just held out his hand passively, is Pater U'Mutter. So when the Mishnah says Patur, with regard to the Reisha, for example, Pashat Ha'ani Yisyadu Lefnim V'Nasal L'Toch Yodah Shal Baal Bayis, and the Mishnah says the Baal Bayis is Patur, he just put his hand open and the Ani put the object into his hand. Patur here means Patur Mutur. So the Gemara's Kasha is, Mi Ika Bekuli Shabbos, do you find anywhere in Masechta Shabbos that the word Potter, the Mishnah, means Potter Mutter Vama Shmuel, Kol Pturei Shabbos, Potter Aval Asur. Whenever you see in the Mishnah Potter, it means that on a Daraisa level you're Potter, but in Rabbanan it's Asur. Bar Mihani Tlas. And Shmuel has three exceptions. Our Mishnah is not one of them. The three exceptions are, number one, Seiras Tzvi. So a deer enters into your house and someone sits on the opening of the house, the Pesach HaBayis, and as a result, the Tzvi is trapped inside. So we have a Meleches Tzeda. Now in such a case, since he deliberately sat himself down on the Pesach, and he closed the way, the passageway, the freedom for the Tzvi, that's called Meleches Tzeda Nischayev. However, suppose someone goes over and sits next to him in such a way that when the Rishon vacates, the Pesach is still closed because of the Sheni. And the Sheni is Potter. And here Potter means Potter Mutter. That's what Shmuel says. And the reason it's Potter Mutter is that there's no Maisa Tzeda at all, because at the time that he sat himself down at the Pesach was already closed by the Rishon. So this is something which, instead of being Noel as Beis HaLashomer, instead of locking the door, and therefore the Tzvi is locked within it, which would be Tzeda, in this case, when the Sheni comes and sits himself down, there is already a situation of tzeda. So he's not adding anything or subtracting anything. And if that be the case, as soon as the Rishon leaves and he's just sitting there passively, there's no violation of tzeda. The animal is already nitzod, and now it's a result of his sitting at the Pesach, but when he sat himself down at the Pesach, he did not do a ma'aseh tzeda. The Rishon was in charge of the tzeda. He was accomplishing the tzeda. The next case we have is tzedas nachash. In this case, there's a serpent, and the serpent is threatening, is a certain danger, and he captures the nachash by covering the nachash with something. And in this case, he's Potter. Now, we're talking about a case of Sakonis Nefashos. And we have a principle, Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Kol Torah Kulo. So if you take a look at Tosfos Divrei Maskil Bar, which is the second Tosfos on the Amud, you'll see that in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, we're not talking about any violation of a Drabonon. So even though he captures the Nachosh, but nevertheless, he's allowed to do so, perhaps even obligated to do so. So therefore, we're talking about something which is Patur Mutter. So that's one way of learning this sugya of Tzedas Nachash. The other way of learning it is, even if we're not talking about a situation of real sakana, but this halach of Tzedas Nachash reflects the sheet of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon holds Melach Shein Tzricha LeGufa as Potter, which means if he's not interested in the Gufa Melacha, for example, he's digging a bar, but he's not interested in the bar, he just wants to get the offer, So that's only the Rabbanan. And in this case of Tzedes Nachash, the Rabbanan are going to allow you to do this L'chatchila. They're going to waive the Rabbanan here because of the Hezek that could happen as a result of the Nachash. So in that case, we're not talking about Pikuach Nefesh, Sakonis Nefashos. We're talking about Amloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufo, which although Potter Avalos, it's also been Rabbanan in this case because of the Tzar and the possible threat of the Nachash, we're allowed even L'chatchila to do this act of Tzeda. And the third case we have is Mafis Mursa. And this is going to reflect the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, but not about Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufo, but rather about Dovah Shein Miskaven. So he has a boil, and he pierces the boil in such a way that he opens it up so that the Lecha, all that pus that's built up inside the boil can go free. And that's going to again be Potur Mutter. The reason it's Potur is because we're dealing with a Dovah Shein Miskaven. He has no Kavana to make a Pesach. He's really just has a Kavana to take out the pus. And you're only chai from Lechas Binyan when you make a Pesach, which is Lahachnis Ulahotzi. Now, if he would be interested in making an open Pesach, a sort of a professional Pesach, in the place of the Mursa, in order to get not only the Lecha removed, but also to get fresh air inside, that would be a real problem. But that's not what he's doing. And you could also say, as we said earlier, he's not miskaven to make a Pesach, so it's a Dovah Shein miskaven. And although that would normally be Asur, but for the sake of Tzar, Lo Gazru Bei Rabbanon. So Potter here, in the case of Mafis Bursa, would mean Potter Umutter. So now we have to go back to our case of the Oni and the Balabais is such that the Oni and the Balabais are, as the Gemara is describing it, Potter Umutter. Well, why isn't that mentioned in the list of Shmuel? Apparently Shmuel's implying that in that case it would be Potter Avalasa. So the Gemara says, no, in truth, even according to Shmuel, our case would be Potter Mutter. But Shmuel didn't have to introduce our case. What is common to the three cases that he mentions, where Shmuel says a Potter Mutter, that's where he's doing a Maisa. And the Gemara says the following, Ki Yitzrich Leila Shmuel, when Shmuel has to teach me a Chiddush, that the word Potter means Mutter, that's only Pturei Deka Ovid Maisa. When he's actively involved in a Malacha, he's doing Tzeda, in the case of the Tzvi, it's said in the case of the Nachash, he's doing an act of opening a Pesach in the case of the Mursa. And here Shmuel wants to be mechadish to us that even though he's doing a Maisa, he's not violating any Iser, even Midrabanan, it's Potur Mutter. But Pturi, the Lokavid Maisa, if a person is totally passive, Ikatuva, you'll have many, many cases where it's Mutter. And amongst them are the four scenarios in the Mishnah of Yetzias HaShabbos, and he's not involved in any Maisa whatsoever. He's totally, totally passive. Here, if he's not doing neither an Akira nor a Hanoch, he's just simply holding on to an object or opening his hand so that an object can be deposited therein, that's going to be Potter Umutter. And Shmuel doesn't even have to address such a case. Now, B'li Neder, after we learn another few lines in the sugya, I want to come back to Tosis's kashi here, Dibra Maskel Bibba, Baba Duresha to Potter Mutter. Tosis is going to raise the issue of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. But first, we're sort of like in the middle of the Shakla V'Tarya. The Gemara had taken a little bit of a digression here to discuss Shmuel and our Resha, in which the Balabais, or alternatively the Oni, is not even violating a Drabbanon. But let's go back to our question on the Sefer. We had a question as to why the Mishnah in the Sefer calculates only an additional four, Ishtayim Shein Arba, and another four, Ishtayim Shein Arba, means all told eight. And in truth, and that's what the Gemara says in the next line, Kol Makom, this was Rav Basta's question on the previous Omud, Tarti Sreihavi. We have really 12 Pu'ulos Asura Shal Hautzah. because we have four scenarios which have two partners. Neither partner is doing a full malacha. One is doing an akira, the other is doing a hanacha. So take, for example, if the Ani puts his hand into the Rishus HaYachid, holding on something, and the Ashir, the Baal Bayis, grabs it out of his hand and places it down. So the Ani did the Akira, and the Ashir did the Hanacha. In Mitzad Shnehem, if we take both of them together, they're each involved in a half of Meleches Hotzah. And therefore each one, respectively, has violated Isur Malach. Well, if you calculate the four situations where two partners are involved, Zeh Oker v'Zeh Meniach, you have eight violations of Drabbanah. And yet, the Mishnah only calculates it as four violations of Drabbanah. We're missing an extra four. So the Gemara answers, P'turi di'asili de'chiyuv chatos kachashiv. But and now the Gemara with a breakthrough is classifying the Rabbanans under two different categories. There's one category which is Asili Dechiv Chatos, which means that you're potter because you didn't complete the Malacha, but you began the Malacha. Let's say, for example, you did the Akira, which in Malacha Sotzah is the Tchilas HaMalacha. And now the Rabbanan have to be very concerned with the possibility that you might continue your malacha until you culminate with anocha. And then you'll come to a chiyuv chatos. You'll violate a full-fledged malecha sotzah doraisa. But the lo asibahu lidei chiyuv chatos, for example, if somebody does the anocha, whether it's the oni or the baal bayis, he's not on the way to violate Melech HaSotzah. I mean, the Akira was already done. There's no way that Hanocha could ever culminate, could ever lead to a violation of a Chiyuv Chatos. Is Lo Kachoshev. The Tana doesn't include that in the calculation of the Mishnah. And that's going to cut down the last four cases, which we wanted to double the part by calculating the participants to eight. Instead, it's going to remain four. Because only in four cases do we have an Akira, which is a violation of a Derabbanan on a higher level, if you will, because it's Asili Dei Chiyuv Chatos. Now, again, when we speak about Chiyuv Chatos, we've mentioned this in the past, let's just reiterate it, we're talking about a Shogeg. In the case of a Mezid, he'd be Chayiv Kares, or if there are Edom and Asra, he gets Skila. So whenever it says Chayiv in Masechta Shabbos or Potter, we're talking about a case in which if he did it b'mezid, he's chayav kares. If he did it b'shogeg, he's Potter, but he's chayav a korban chatos. So let's go through a few scenarios to just clarify the last point of the Gemara, the distinction between asili dechiyuv chatos as opposed to lo asili dechiyuv chatos. We'll start with the case where the ani has nothing in his hand. I'm sorry. The Ani has an object in his hand. He stretches his hand into the Rishus HaYochid, and the Baal Bayis takes it out of his hand. The Ani did the Akira from Rishus HaRabim. The Tana is going to count that as Shtayim Shein Arba, but it's only going to be one. It's only going to be calculated as one. Why? Because the Ani himself could theoretically complete the Malacha of Hotzah by doing the final Hanacha. So that's Asli Dechiv Chatos. If he would put down the object in Rishus HaYochid himself, he would come to a Chiyuv Chatos. But the Baal Bayis did the Hanacha, and therefore the Ani didn't complete the Malacha. Now, should we count the Baal Bayis amongst the various Isurim, in this case the Rabbanah? The answer is no, because the Baal Bayis only did the Hanacha. There's no way that he could complete the Malacha and be Chayav Chatos. So we would say the following, that Akira begins Meleches Hotzah. If he doesn't complete the Meleches Hotzah, he has what you'd call a Chatzi Malacha. We'll call it almost Chatzi Shir. Right? We have a Sugya later on in Masechet Shabbos Kuf Beis called Chatzi Shir. And Chatzi Shir is Asur min HaTorah. Why? Because it's royal itztarif, chazil itztarufe. That's a Gemara at the end of Yom, in the last parak of Yoma. So the Akira, now, according to some of Farshim, would be a violation of an Isu Torah under the law of Chatzi Shir. However, if you read carefully, Rashi back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Dir Maskel Shehen, the first one, and you'll see another Rashi, Dir Maskel Shnehem, you get the distinct impression that Akira without Hanoch is only Gzeirat Rabbanon. There's no Chatzi Shir in Melachos. And this touches on a very deep and lamdishes sugya about Melechus Shabbos, whether there's such a thing as Chatzi Shir. If we assume that there's no such thing as a Chatzi Shir, then the Akira is only a violation of a Drabbanon, but you can classify it as sort of an upgraded Drabbanon, so far it's Osi L'Dechi of Chatos. If you complete the Melacha, he would be Chayav Chatos. Now, according to the Gemara, the Ani is going to be counted for two Akiros. The Osher will have two Akiros. In the case of the Ani, his two Akiros are from Rishus HaRab. In the case of the Osher, his two Akiros are from Rishus HaYachid. But the Cheshbon, the calculation of the Tanav HaMishnah, is going to be Shnei Ofanim L'Kol Echad. Which means that since the Pulos Hautzah are Shonos Zumizu, they're really different. Therefore, each Akira will be counted as a separate violation of a Drabbanon. Whether it be the Akira that starts in Rishus HaYochid or the Akira that starts in Rishus HaRabim, those will be counted. Now, let's take the case of Poshat Ha'ani Es Yodu Lifnim V'Nosan Balabais L'Socha. The Balabais in this case did the Akira. The Ani stretched his hand out. Now, it's really interesting. In this case, we're going to count the Balabais as the Oker, and therefore his Drabbana will be calculated in our Mishnah because it's Osli Dechi of Chatos. But the interesting thing is that in that particular scenario, it's the Ani who actually did what we call the Avaras Rishuyos. He was responsible to take the object from one Rishus to the other. So although the Malacha began with the Mice of the Balabayas, and the Balabayas did the Akira, but nevertheless, you could say that the essence or the chunk of the major chunk of the Pulas Hotzah was accomplished by the Ani. And you might be able to say a similar thing if the Balabayas would stretch his hand out and the Ani would put the object into the Balabayas' hand. The Balabayas is now holding out his hand in Rishus HaRabim, and the Akir is being done by the Ani in Rishus HaRabim, but nevertheless the Asher is doing the Havaras Rishuyos. And it's interesting that according to Rashi, at least, in this case, we're going to calculate the Akira. That's going to be the one that's counted. You have to check out the Rashbah here, because Rashbah seems to be on a different wavelength. What do I mean? All this can be clarified without opening the Rashbah by studying Tosus Divrei Maskil Peturei. And Tosus quotes the Riva. The alternative to Rashi would be to reinterpret the Gemara's answer in a slightly different way. And that is that the Tan is counting Hoshatos. What do I mean by Hoshatos? The Hoshata means when you stretch your arm out to the other Rishus, whether you have something in your hand or you don't. For example, in the case where the Ani is poshet yodu lefnim, and the Balabais is the one who puts something inside of him, the Tana is going to calculate now the Ani, even though the Ani didn't do the Akira, it was the Balabais who did the Akira. But nevertheless, since the Ani was poshet es yodo, he's going to be responsible for the Havaras Rishuyos, correct? Because the Balabais is putting the object into his, the Ani's outstretched hand. The Ani is now going to pull the object over the boundary out into Rishus HaRabim and then do the Hanocha. According to this pshat of the Riva in Tosfos, what we're going to have is a osi lidei chiyuv chatos. The oni is osi lidei chiyuv chatos, not the akiris balabais. And I guess you'd say the following, that if we define the essence of hotzah as navaros v'shuyos, it's the oni who's doing navaros v'shuyos. That's classified as osi lidei chiyuv chatos. And the Rashba says that the Tana is going to calculate hanochos. So, for example, if the Ani extended his hand into Rishus HaYochid, and the Balabais took the object out of the hand of the Ani, according to the Rashba, the calculation is going to be the Balabais who did the hanocha. He's considered Osili Dei Chiyuv Chatos. Why? Because he's coming to complete the Malacha. And we can summarize here three shitos here about what Osi Lidei Chiyuv Chatos is. Rashi is saying that if he continues, he could theoretically come to a violation of Shabbos. That's because he did the Akira. So we could only calculate the Akiros. The second shita, which we'll call the Riva in Tosus, he holds that Osi Lidei Chiyuv Chatos is whoever's responsible for the Havaros Rishuyos. And the third shita is the Rashba shita, that Osli Dechiv Chatos is the one who completes the Malacha, and that's the Hanocha. So we're going to count Hanochos. The Gemara now wants to clarify the general, shall I say, principle in Hilchos Shabbos of two people who, as a joint effort, complete a Malacha. That's called Shnayim Shasuha. So the Gemara is going to ask the following question. What is the principle of Shnayim Shasu? What is the law in this case? Is that a violation of Malacha? Do we have two people who together are achieving a Malacha and we should be Mechayev both of them? Or do we say no, neither of them are Mechayev because neither of them completed the Malacha alone? So the Gemara asks, Shneim Pturim, in the case of Malachas Hotzah, where the Ani, let's say, did the Akira and the Balabais did the Hanocha, they're both potter. V'hois avda melacha mibeinayhu, between the two of them, the melacha was done, the Hotzah v'Shesram was achieved. They were working in a sense in cahoots. The chefetz, the object was nekar from one rishus, and it was put down in a different rishus. Although we needed both of them together to do so, but the complete malacha was done by both of them. And in that case, the Gemara thinks that we should be mechayev both of them as a partnership. Before the Gemara quotes a drasha here in a braisa that tells you Shnayim Shasu is potter, the Havamina that we don't know such a thing, the Gemara thinks that the two of them together should be chayev. Now, this question of the Gemara is based on a certain premise. And that premise is that Akira, in and of itself, if it culminates in a Chiyuv Chatos, if the Malach is completed, or Hanoch itself, for example, cannot culminate in a Malacha. So Akira in itself, or Hanoch in itself, does not generate a Chiyuv Chatos. So it's not clear, is Al Gemara in the Hava Mina trying to lead us to be Mechayv both of them, the Oker and the Meniach, because between the two of them they did the Malacha? That's one way of learning. The other way of learning is that the Gemara thinks that the one who did the Akira, which we've just defined, at least according to Rashi, as Osli de Chiyuv Chatos, so maybe he should be Chayv. He's just using the receiver on the other end to fulfill his interest, his agenda to complete this Havaros Rishuyos. So it could be that the Oker is the one who should be Chayav. In the end of that Mishnah, we have a principle called Shneim Peturim. So you could interpret that the Gemara is asking about Shneim Peturim. But it would seem that later on, this Gemara Daf Dalid, that is going to ask a kasha about Shneim Peturim. In the case of Poshanonius Yodo and the Osher did the Maisa Hanocha. So then the Gemara is going to pick up this question on Daf Dalet, why Shneim Peturim? This Gemara would rather seem to be going on the last discussion that we had about what's called Osili Dechiv Chatos. The Gemara Daf Dalet is going to deal with the case of Poshat Ha'onias Yodo V'nosel L'toch Yodo Shel Balabayis, which is the beginning of the Mishnah, and it would be a little odd if the Gemara on Daf Dalet is going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and here we're on the end of the Mishnah. So take a look at Tosfos Divrei HaMashchil Shnehem. Now the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, based on the pasuk in the Chiv Korban Chatos, it says in Vayikra Dalet V'im Nefesh Achas Techto. Bishkago b'yama oretz ba'asosa achas mimitzas Hashem ashalo te'aseno ve'ivi karbano. So let's emphasize the word ba'asosa. And it means that he did it. What did he do? So Rebbe defines this as a'osa es kula. Asosa means kula. He did the entire malacha. Bishlemus v'lo, coming to exclude ha'osa es miktsasa, if he only does part of the malacha, part of the avera, is yachid v'asosa chayav. If the yachid himself independently can complete the malacha, he's going to be chayav chatos. But shnayim v'asosa, if you need both of them, like for example in the case of otzah, you need the oker. This guy was the oker, and the other guy is the meniach p'turim. They're potter from a chatos, because each one only did part of the Avera. So again, we might be assuming that the Chiddush of Rebbe is that we shouldn't be mechayev the Rishon HaKorban because he didn't complete the Malacha. That's the Chiddush of Rebbe. But there was never a svara to say that the Rishon should be chayev based on what the Sheni did, but rather the question. So that's one way of learning the Gemara. Again, so if we're going to learn the Gemara that the Rishon should be chayv, he's chayv for what the Sheni did. That's a little bit odd. Perhaps you could say that the Gemara thinks that the Sheni should be chayv a karbon because he does the Gemara Malacha. Again, all this depends upon the different shitos that we had earlier in Osli Dechiv Chatas. If Osli Dechiv Chatas means the Tchilas HaMalach, then maybe you can be Mechayev the Oker because the Meniach is, so to speak, completing his will, as we discussed earlier. Or you could say Osli Dechiv Chatas is a reference to the one who completes the Malach, in this case the Meniach. Okay, fine. Now, let's mention the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua says that Kusha Sagamari Himadua Shneim Enim Chayovim Lavi Yachad Karban Echad, which is fascinating that you would have a partnership in the Karban itself. I mean, there was a partnership in the Malacha, and in a commensurate way, corresponding to the fact that as a partnership they implemented the Malacha, they should be partners in bringing the Karban. And that's how the Pnei Yoshua wants to learn it. If the Mishnah is talking about a Chiv Misa, in the case of Mezid, for example, then in Shnayim Shasua, we could not be Mechayev both of them Misa, because neither one of them did the entire Malacha. And we don't have an institution called Chatzi Misa. But if we're talking about the case of Shneim Peturim, which means that we're talking about a Chiv, let's say, Karban, then we talk about a potter shasil dechiv chatos. The Mishnah might say that in a case of shogeg, as far as chiv karbon, we should be mechayev both of them a joint karbon. Now, Rebbe builds his case on the word basosa. Basosa is a word that refers to the nefesh that's referred to the beginning of the pasuk of nefesh achas techtavish gogami amaritz be'asosa, which would mean Be'asos ha-nefesh is achas mitzvus Hashem. Rebbe, on the other hand, says Ba'asosa is referring not to the nefesh, but to the malach itself. Ba'asos osa. And therefore Rebbe derived from this Ba'asosa that you have to do the malacha kula b'shlemus. Okay, now we have the end of the braisa, which says Shnayim v'asu osa p'turin. And again, this braisa is referring to a case where each one did a different part of the malacha. What would be in a case where the two of them did the malacha together, the entire malacha together? Let's say, for example, they were carrying something in Rishus HaRab and Dalet Amos. They were both carrying it together. And here we have to break it down into different categories. There's a category of Ze'ena Yochel V'Ze'ena Yochel, where neither of them could pick up this heavy weight, but together they could. And it's the case of Ze'yochel V'Ze'yochel, each one could have easily have done it by himself, and they did it together. All those cases have to be discussed, but all those cases are where the two of them did the entire malacha. Here, in Rebbe's frame of reference, we're talking where neither of them did the entire malacha, each did a chelik in the malacha. And that's what Rebbe means when he says Yachid v'yasos achayev. Only if the entire malacha, both segments, were done by one individual, then there's a chiyuv. But shnayim v'yasos p'turin. But what it means is that each one did half. What would be if shnayim shasu v'vas achas? That's, as I said before, a more complicated case, which Amir Sem will get to. Itmar Nami, we have another source for this halacha. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Gamda, Nizrika mipiach habura, v'yomru ba'asosa, yochid shasa'a, chayev, shnayim shasua, pturin. So this was something that was a halacha that was, so to speak, thrown out in front of the Tanoim, and they all agreed unanimously that from the word ba'asosa, we derive an exclusive for Shnayim Shasua, and they're both Pturim. Boy Mine Rav Mi Rebbe. Now we're getting into more of the, you know, the inner mechanism of Hotzah. And here's the suffix that Rav asked Rebbe. A person is standing in Rishus HaRabim. Let's take the case of, actually, we could talk about both cases, but let's talk about a case where he's standing in Rishus HaYochid. V'tino chavero ochlinu mashkin. He himself did not do the akira. Somebody else did the akira, picking up the object. Now we'll see exactly why we're talking about ochlinu mashkin here, but in this case, it was food stuff. And although the other guy did the akira, but he puts it on his back. That's called hitino chavero. It's like, let's say you had a knapsack on the ground. Reuven lifts up the knapsack and puts it on the shoulders of Shimon. Now Shimon was okeris raglov. In other words, he started moving. Votzion lachutz. Mahu, what's the din? Because the motzi here did not do the akira. He did not pick up the object from a mokum anocha. So now Rav is going to explain the two tzadim, and we'll see what Rebbe has to say. The first side is to say akiras kufo kakiras chefetz bimkomo domi, that he doesn't have to actually lift the object off the ground. All he has to do is move with his body, and the object is on his body. The body itself is like an extension of his hand doing the akira. Because once the object was placed on his back, now it's stationary on his back. When he moves, and the object moves along with him, that's called an akiras chefetz. And mechayev, therefore, is chayev when he sets it down in the rishus harab. O dilma lo, or should we say no? Akiras haguf is just a matter of being oker his guf. Anything that's attached to his guf, he's not being oker, although he's actually causing its motion. And therefore, in this case, in the second side, Odimolo, he would be potter because he didn't do the akira. Again, he did the hanocha, but he never did an akira. Amalei, so Rebbe responds to Rav, Chayav, meaning that Akiras Gufo Kakiras Chefetz Sha'olav Dami, moving his body with an object on the body, constitutes an Akira on the Chefetz that's on his body. And Rebbe now wants to derive this from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we have a case where the Baal Bais takes a Chefetz and he puts it into the hand of the Ani. So the Ani stretches his hand into Rishus HaYochid. He's got nothing in his hand. And the Baal Bais puts the object into his hand. The Ani now is Potur if he takes his hand back with the object, because he never did an Akira. So you see clearly that Akiras HaYad, Rishus HaYochid, Eina Nechsheves Kakiras Chefet Sha'olav. However, if it would be Akiras HaGuf with a Chefetz Olav, that's considered Akiras Chefetz. The Eina Dovel Yodo. Akiras HaGuf is not to be equated with Akiras Yodo. So when the Baal Bais puts the object into the hands of into the outstretched hand of the Ani, and the Ani pulls his hand, that's not considered an Akiras Chefetz. My timer. What's the difference between a chefetz that's on your back, and then we say when you move your body, akiras gufo kakiras chefetz, something as opposed to the case where the chefetz is in your hand and you grab the hand back? That should also be an akiras chefetz. So the Gemara answers, gufo nayach, yodo lo nayach. His body is munach, it's stationary, it's attached to the ground, so to speak, and therefore when he is oker his guf, and he's oker the chefetz that's on his guf, we can consider it as if he was oker the chefetz, as if the chefetz was on the karka, even though the chefetz is not physically located on the ground, but since the body is munach on the ground, munach al gabi karka, the akira of the body is an ikira on everything that's attached to the body, as if everything that's attached to the body is on the karka. But yado lo nayach. You cannot say about a yad that the yad is munach al gabi karka. The yad is always sort of hanging suspended in midair. The chefetz that's on top of it is not considered munach al gabi karka. So that while Hotzos Gufo, Akiris Gufo is an Akiris Chefetz because the Chefetz is considered to be Munach HaGabi Karka, in the case of Hotzos Yado, that's not considered Akiris Chefetz because the Yad is not Nach. And anything that's inside the Yad is sort of suspended in there, it's not connected to the ground. And now we turn to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Now, Rav asked Rebbe this question about Hotzah v'Shabbos, and at that moment in time, Rebbe was actually learning a different Masechta. Omolei, so Rebbe Chia turned to Rav, and he said to him, Bar Pachte, you're the son of Gedolim. Lo aminilcha, didn't I once tell you that Kikoi Rebbe behind Masechta, if Rebbe's learning one particular Masechta, Lo tishayle v'Masechta achriti, you can't ask him a question from a different Masechta. Because Rebbe is so, we could use the Yiddish word orangutan, he's so involved and preoccupied with that Masechta, Dilma Lava Daite, he's not really in a clear way involved in that other Masechta that you're asking him about. However, you asked him a question, he doesn't want to be embarrassed, so he might give you the wrong answer out of embarrassment, but it's not a good idea to ask about a different Masechta if he's not learning that Masechta. However, the love to Rebbe, if not for the fact that you asked this question to Rebbe, who's a Gavra Rabba, who he is an exceptional giant in Torah, if it would have been someone lower than Rebbe, then Kasafte, you would be embarrassing him, and as a result, Mishani Loch Shinuya Delav Shinuya, he's going to give you the wrong answer, because he's not clear about that other Masechta that you're asking him about. But out of embarrassment, he doesn't want to say he doesn't know, so he's going to give you an answer, but it'll be the wrong answer. But Hashta, now in this case that you asked Rebbe the question, Mias, however, Shapir Mishanilcha, he gave you the right answer, because that's the greatness of Rebbe, who's a Gavra Rabba. Now again, who exactly fits this category of Gavarava? So you could ask him from a different Masechta. That's not exactly clear. Maybe it means a Rosh Hashiva, where you can ask him anywhere, and he can give you an answer. It's Mechudad Beficha. I don't know. Is a Rosh Hashiva on the level that, even if he's learning one Masechta, he can give you an answer, a right answer on target to a question from a different Masechta. Truth is that, again, a Talmud Chacham is, you know, he gets so involved in a particular Masechta, you know, and his Iyun is so profound that he won't be able to give you the right answer from a different Masechta. Again, Rebbe is a special category. So as a general rule, it would seem that the bottom line in this Gemara is that Talmidim should not be asking from a different Masechta. So now Rav asks Rebbe from a different Masechta. That's not the Masechta that Rebbe was learning. And in a sense, he violated the principle of Rebbe Chiya, who told him never to do such a thing. There's a Gemara later on in Daf Chav Tes, which Rabbi Kivega here in the Gilyon HaShas alludes to, and the Gemara has a suffix as to whether Rav accepted this horah of Rabbi Chiya, or at least the horah of Rabbi Chiya in some inyan acher, in some topic. It could be that Rav himself disagrees with Rabbi Chiya about this very issue, about whether you're allowed, a Talmud is allowed to ask from a different Masechta. So that touches on the whole issue of Rav and Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was Rav's uncle, Rabbi Chiya was a Tana, Rav is sort of the beginning of the Amoraim, but yet Rav still overlaps with the Tanoim, so it's not exactly, it's not impossible for Rav to disagree with Rabbi Chiya. Now Rabbi Chiya mentions that Rav is a bar pachti, he's a ben gedolim. Perhaps he was trying to tell him that since you're ben gedolim, therefore Rebbe would have to answer your question. You know, it's your Rebbe owes you a certain kavod because of your lineage, and therefore you're putting Rebbe into a very precarious situation by asking him from a different masechta, and Rebbe will be embarrassed not to give you an answer. He feels that you're a ben pachti, he has to give you an answer. Now, if Rebbe would have made a mistake in his answer, there could have been a terrible takol of Chilul Shabbos. So Rav Chiya, you know, he says, well, you might have embarrassed him by asking from a different masechta. I mean, Rav Chiya should have gone a little step further. He should have said, well, if he gives you the wrong answer, that could create a terrible takol. But it could be that Rebbe knew all of Shas, and there was no real chashash that he would make a fundamental mistake. Just that Rav Chiya was arguing that Shema Yiteh B'tam HaDin, maybe although he would make a mistake in the din itself, but he might make a subtle mistake in explaining the reason for the din, which depends upon a certain svara. And his mind is not, you know, is not free, he's a little bit preoccupied to come up with that svara. But in any event, Rebbe says Rav Chiya is an Adam Gadol, he gave you the right answer, even if though he wasn't right now learning the Masechta that you asked him in. And some of the Achronim want to say nowadays, it could be that you're allowed to ask in a different Masechta because no one is this deeply involved in that particular Masechta. Others want to go the other extreme, and they say that in our day, you shouldn't ask from a different sugya within the same Masechta. That again could give, you know, could embarrass the person until you get the wrong answer. Now, the Gemara is going to prove that Rebbe's answer, his response to Rav's question, was correct from a Braisa. The Braisa says, "Hayaton ochlun umashkim ibodyom." He had ochlun umashkim on his back before Shabbos. It's still Friday. Hotzian lechutz mishechashecha. After it got dark, he entered into a rishus hayochid, let's say, or he took it out to Rishus Aram from Rishus Hayochid. Chayav. Now, the original Akira was beheter, because the original Akira was done on Friday. So that Akira can't be calculated and integrated into his Melech HaSotso. Why would he be chayv in such a case? And the answer has to be that Akira's gufo, Akira's chayfitz domi. And the Braisa adds, lefish eino domi liyado. It's not like the case of the yad of an oni that was extended into Rishus HaYochid, while the oni stays standing firmly on the ground of Rishus HaRabim, and then the Baal Bais puts something into the hand of the outstretched hand of the oni, and then the oni brings it outside, he's potter. In that case, we're not going to apply the principle of Akiras Yodo, Akiras Chayfetz Tomi. And the answer is because Yodo Lo Nayach. The Yad is not considered like it's Munach Al Gabi Kaka. The Yad is something that has its own mind. It's almost an independent agent. And therefore, if there's no Hanocha here, Al Gabi Karka, then the moving of the yad is not going to be considered an akiras chayfetz. But gufo shalom, which is nachan galbi karka, when the person moves his feet, you know, lifts up his feet, he does an akira on his body, then it's considered as if he did an akiras chayfetz. In this case, he was okir gufo misha chashecha at night. That becomes a new akira, and he's going to be chayv as a result. And this supports Rebbe's answer to Ra. Now the Gemara wants to define what is the status of Yodo Shel Odom, especially in the case where his body is anchored in one Rishus and his Yad is extended into a different Rishus. Omar Abaye, Pshitali, I have no doubt that Yodo Shel Odom Eino Lo Kirshus HaRavim Vilo Kirshus HaYochid. The status of a yad, when he is standing in one rishus and the yad is extended to another rishus, is the yad is not considered like the rishus where he's standing, nor is it like the rishus where the yad is found. It's sort of like an entity up in space on its own. It's not rishus harabim. It's not rishus hayochid. Again, it's very important to emphasize that he's standing in rishus hayochid and he's extending his hand into rishus harabim. So we want to show the yad is not like the makom where he's standing, which is the rishus hayochid. It's not like the makom where his yad is extended. That's rishus harabim. And now Abaye clarifies where he knows this from. Rishus kirshus harabim lo damya, and that's miyado di ani. I'll prove to you from the case of the ani. The ani is standing in rishus harabim. He's extending his hand with something inside of it into Rishus HaYochid. And the law is that if the Baal Bais takes the object out of the hands of the Oni and puts it down in his house, he's potter. And when I say he's potter, I mean to say that he's not considered like he was Oker Mishus HaRabin. Now, why isn't the Oni considered as if he was Oker Mishus HaRabin? And the answer is because his yad, when he extends it into Rishus HaRabim, into Rishus HaYochid, is not considered Rishus HaRabim. Even though, again, the Oni's feet are firmly rooted in Rishus HaRabim, but since the yad is extended into another Rishus, therefore the yad is no longer Kirshus HaRabim. It's not like the raglaim where his feet are located. And once again, where do we see this in our Mishnah? Because in our Mishnah, when the Ani takes something up from Rishus HaRabim and he extends his Yad into Rishus HaYochid, and the Baal Bais takes it out of his Yad, then the Ani is Potter. And why not assume that he should be Chayv because his Yad is now stretched into a Rishus HaYochid? But the answer is his Yad is not like Rishus HaYochid. So Yad the Ani is not like the Rishus HaYochid, even though the Anis Yad is physically in Rishus HaYochid, if it were in Rishus HaYochid, then the Ani would be Chayev as soon as he stretches his Yad Malaya into Rishus HaYochid. Now the opposite is true. It's not considered to be, the Yad is not considered to be where the Sfeer is, and I'll prove to you that, says the Gemara. Rishus HaYochid lo damya miyodo de balabais. So the Baal Bais is standing in Rishus HaYochid. He has something in his hand and he stretches his hand out into Rishus HaRabim. If the Ani takes it from his hand, he's... the Baal Bais is potur, and we don't consider it as if the Baal Bais was okered from Rishus HaYochid. So let's go over this one more time. Baal Bayis is standing in Rishus HaYochid. He's stretching his arm out with something in it into Rishus HaRabim. And we don't consider the Yad as if it were Rishus HaYochid. So again, we proved before that the Yad, from the Oni case, the Yad is not considered Rishus HaRabim. And now we're proving that it's not considered Rishus HaYochid. And that supports Abaye, that the Yad is neither here nor there. So boy Abaye, but Abaye wants to know, if the Yad is neither like the Rishus HaRabim or like the Rishus HaYochid, Yadam Shal Adam, Ma'ush Tiyosin Ken Karmelis. Should we consider his Yad to be a Karmelis? Right? We mentioned yesterday that there are three Rishuyos besides a Makom Patur. There's Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid, and a Karmelis. And you're not allowed to take something from a Karmelis into a Rishus HaYochid because we consider it Midrabbanan like a Rishus HaRabim. So now, is it possible that since the Yad doesn't, when it's outstretched into the Rishus, it doesn't take on neither the din of Rishus HaYochid nor the din, the status of Rishus HaRabim, let's call it a Karmelis. Now what's the impact or the import of saying that the Yad is a Karmelis? If the Yad is a Karmelis, then also lahachzir es achefetz l'shushu omid ba. He's going to be stuck with his arm outstretched with an object inside of it for the entire Shabbos. We're not going to allow him to take it from the Karmelis, because the Yad is called the Karmelis, and bring it into the Rishus where he's standing. Because Karmelis basically has two dinim. And Midrabbanan, you're not allowed to take something from a Karmelis into Rishus HaYochid, nor are you allowed to take something from a Karmelis into Rishus HaRabim. So his Yad will have to remain extended until after Shabbos. Oh boy, that's a toughie. You know, this reminds us of the Evan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe we should get an Evan to support his Yad as it's outstretched until after Shabbos. So Mikon Sura Rabbanan Ladure Ligabei Olo. Should we say that because he was oker the chefetz from the rishus that he was in, and he stretched it out into another rishus in order to place it down there, so he started already something be isur? Maybe the rabbanon shouldn't penalize him as a result of the isur, and will consider his yad like a karmelis, and he won't be able to return his hand to where his body is for the rest of the balance of Shabbos. Oh, Loa, should we say no? The rabbanon did not impose this knas upon him in order to force him to keep his arm stretched out until after Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's prove it from the following. We have a Braisa, Haisa, Yadam Aleha Peros. He's got a handful of Peros, and he's in Rishus HaYochid, Votzia Lachutz. And now he extended his hand outside into the Rishus HaRabim. Tani Chada, we have one Bryce that says, Asa Lachzira. He's not allowed to take his hand back into the Rishus HaYochid. Tani Edok, the other Bryce says, Muta Lachzira. My Lav, Bahaka Miflegi. Should we not say that these are two irreconcilable Bryces, but one Bryce to hold Mar Savar. The first Bryce that says you're not allowed to bring your hand back in, he holds that Yado Ki Karmelis Dummy.
and therefore he can't bring it back to Shusay Yochid, because then he's taking it from a Carmelist back into Shusay Yochid. Mar Sover, but the other Brisa, the second Brisa, says that he's allowed to bring his hand back, Sover Delavka Carmelist on it. So in effect, what the Gemara is saying now is that the Suffolk of Abaye is really a machlokes between two Brises. The Gemara says, lo, there's no necessity to assume that these two Brises are arguing on the Tutsdodim of Abaye's Suffolk. The Kuli Alma, both Brises are of the opinion that if he stretches his hand out on Shabbos, it's another Shuski Carmelist Dome. His yad is considered a Carmelist. And therefore, we understand very well the Brisa that says he's not allowed to bring it back in. Velo kasha. Okay, what are you going to do? Kan, according to that Brisa that says you're not allowed to bring it back, that's very easy. And the Gemara says, lamata me asora. Where did he stretch his arm out? Below asora tvachim. And within the Asar Tvachim, from the ground up into the air, that's called a Rishus Harabim. That's the airspace of Rishus Harabim. The airspace of Rishus Harabim goes up to Asar Tvachim. So now we can consider his Yad like a Carmelist. Why? Because since the Yad is stretched out below Asar Tvachim, therefore we consider it as if it's a Carmelist. And the Rabbanan imposed the Knas. And they said, your Yad is a Carmelist, you're not allowed to bring it back. But Khan, the second Brice that allows him to bring back his hand, that case is Lomaila Me'asar Tvachim. And therefore the Yad cannot be considered like a Rishus Harabim. Why? Because it's Lomaila Me'asar Tvachim. Rishus Harabim only goes up to Asar Tvachim. The Lamalami Asar Tvachim in Rishus Harabim is a Mokum Ptur. And technically, you're allowed to take something from a Rishus HaYochid and bring it into a Mokum Ptur, or from a Rishus Harabim into a Mokum Ptur, or take it from a Mokum Ptur into a Rishus HaYochid or into a Rishus Harabim. However, Lechatchila, we're not going to allow you to take something from a Rishus HaYochid above Asar Tvachim in Rishus Harabim. If we're going to allow you to do that, then tomorrow he's going to take it out into Lamata Me'asor and he'll violate Emelocha Doraisa. But if he did such a thing and he stretched his arm out holding something from Rishus HaYochid into Lamala Me'asor, then we're not going to put a Knas on him. And Tosus seems to go even a step further. Tosus says that if he was Motzi Lamala Me'asor Lo'asa Yisukla, and he would have allowed to do this L'chatchila. That's not the sheet of other Rishonim. But in any event, there's no warrant to cancel him. For sure, not according to Tosus, and even according to the other Rishonim, we're not going to penalize him. And that's because he took his hand, Lamala Me'asor Tvachim. Iboy, same another way of reconciling these two prices, Idi Ve'idi, both prices are talking about Lamata Me'asora. And if it's Lamata Me'asora, then there's no knas, velav kikarmelis domi, they're not going to impose this knas that he has to stretch his arm at, velokasha. Now, what are you going to do with the first price? So the kan, the second price, is a cinch. The second price says he's allowed to bring his hand back, and that's talking about a case of poshat yodo mivod yom. But kan, but the first price that says you're not allowed to bring it back is mishech hashecha. And mibod yom lo kansu rabbona, mishach hashecha kansu rabbona. In a case where he was poshes yado on Erev Shabbos, on Friday he extended his hand, and he wants to bring it back after nightfall on Shabbos night, and that we're going to allow him to do. Why? Because we're holding lamata me'asoras lavka karmelistomi. But the second brisa, which says that, the first brisa that says he's not allowed to bring his hand back, that's a case of Parshat Asiyot Mishach HaShecha. And therefore, he deserves a knas. In the second brisa, he was Parshat Asiyot Mibod Yom, and therefore there's no Maiseser at all, Lo Kansur Abonah. The Rabbanan says he's allowed to bring his hand back. But the Braisa that says that he's not allowed to bring his hand back, that's because it was Misha Chashecha. It's Katsur Rabbanon. The Rabbanon said, we're not going to allow you to take it back, even though it's not a caramelus. So this is a brand new knas. This is not a knas to consider the yad as a caramelus, because if it was because the caramelus, we would never be mechalik between Mibod Yom and Chashecha. But the knas was that he shouldn't bring his hand back. And that was saying even without defining his yad as a caramelist. And if that be the case, we can be mechalik between Mibod Yom, where he doesn't deserve a knas, and Misha Chashecha, where he deserves a knas. So Gemara is not happy with this. Adarabe Ibcha Mistabra Mibod Yom, if he extended his hand into the Rishus HaRabim when it was still Friday, Di Shadile, if he would throw the object out of, drop the object from his hands into the Rishus HaRabim after Shabbos began, it's too heavy for him to hold the object in his hand, so that what he does is he drops the object. Is in such a case lo osili de chiyuv chatos, because he had extended his hand mibod yom and there was never an akira on Shabbos, is then liknesur rabbanon. Rabbanon should cancel him. And this seems counterintuitive. You're telling me that it's lo asli dechiv chatos because the akira was on Friday and not on Shabbos, and then you're telling me, well, let's cancel him in that case. But mishachashecha, if he extended his hand mishachashecha, he's also royal knas. But what's going to happen if we tell him he's got to maintain, you know, his hand outstretched for the entire balance of Shabbos? He's going to inevitably drop it. It's too heavy for him to hold on to. Di shadilei, when he drops it, osi bahu lidei chiv chatos. So in such a case, even though he deserves a knas, but lo kansur rabbonu, the rabbonu can't cancel him, because canceling him would involve a possible danger in which he might incur a chiv chatos. The Gemara says, umi the lo kamishanin and hachi. Why didn't the Gemara give this answer? Perhaps he's referring to the previous Gemara that kan mibod yom kan mishachshecha. They didn't say in the reverse that if it's mibod yom kansur rabbanon and mishachshecha lo kansur. Apparently they're not holding the svara that the chachamim should be mevatel the gzera because a person might come to violate an isur chamur. Is tifshot de Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. This is going to give us an answer for the suffix of Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. So Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up the famous sugya of Rav Bibi Bar Abaye.